Good morning. Good to see you all. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we've come here to meet not merely with one another, as precious as that is, but to meet with our covenant God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is our earnest prayer that the Spirit who has made his home within us would fill us and equip us so that our worship would be acceptable, Father, in your sight and would be glorifying to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And further, that the consequence of the Spirit's working in each mind and each heart would be that each one of us would be becoming more like Christ than we've ever been before. These things we pray of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're doing two New Testament readings today, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. I can't remember the last time we didn't have an Old Testament text, but we'll figure out, you'll understand in a little while why we're doing this. But Revelation chapter 2, beginning with the first verse, let's hear God's inerrant word. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in those days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and beguile my certain servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your works. But to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they call them, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken to pieces, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's turn from the Word of God to the Apostles' Creed. 851 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. Apostles' Creed, let us confess to God the faith that He's revealed to us in His Word by means of this ancient summary. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And if you would, please open your Bibles back to the book of Revelation, and we'll be reading chapter 3 in its entirety. Revelation 3, let's hear God's inerrant and infallible word. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are about to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. Therefore, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, and that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for these seven letters. And as we spend a few minutes this morning looking at them, open our eyes that we may see some glorious things. Open our eyes that we might see your message to Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and your message to every family in this church, and your message to each individual member of this church. This is your word. Your word to your people collectively and your people individually. So grant us that we might indeed have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And finally, we pray for those who rule over us. We have in the New Testament scriptures two apostles who tell us to pray for those who rule over us, who do not, even if they do not know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would strengthen those who wish to do that, to rule in accordance with the teachings of your word, to rule in accordance with your law, which is written on the heart of Adam, and while it's been damaged, it's still there on the heart of every unbeliever. And for those who desire to flout that law and overturn it, we pray that you would hinder their works. And we pray these things of you in Christ's precious name. Amen. On the Sabbath, the first Sunday of the month when we do Lord's Supper, there is a definite limit to time. And we're doing these two chapters all at one time, which means we're not going to spend a lot of detailed study. We're doing it mostly because this is where I did my devotions this week in part. And I noticed something I had never noticed before, and I thought it was interesting. There's a pattern to all the letters that follow, and we're going to go through the pattern before we come to the point I want us to notice. Every letter begins with, to the church of wherever. We're told in verse 20 of chapter 1 that the angels are the seven stars that are that Christ is in the midst of. Angel, of course, the Greek word means a messenger, and that messenger could be a human being, or that messenger could be a spiritual being, what we call angels. It's a matter of debate that I don't think we'll really know for sure on this earth. You will find good, godly scholars who will be on both sides of the issues about, is this the pastors or the bishops of a church, or is this an angel who has his watch over each congregation? It really doesn't matter. It's just, I think it's the teaching elder in each congregation. But the letter goes to that person, and that person is then involved with expounding this and delivering it to the congregation. Then secondly, the author of each letter identifies himself by means of the vision that John sees in chapter 1. And we're not going to look there, it would take too much time. But for your own enlightenment, read the first chapter, and then as you read on your own through these seven letters, notice how Jesus identifies. He doesn't just say, this is the Lord Jesus. He identifies himself from this vision and from the statements that are made about him in the first chapter. I want to skip over the next section because we'll come back to that. Five times, and the form varies, but in five of the seven letters, we have, I have this against you. The content varies, and the exact form of how he says that varies slightly. But in five of the seven churches, I have this against you. And in five of those letters, to the best of my knowledge, it's the same five. I don't remember seeing it in the other two. We have the word repent. Sometimes more than once in the same letter. Do you know Christians are still supposed to repent? Not just when you got saved, but over and again. And here's Christ from his own mouth to seven congregations telling either the whole congregation or at least individuals in the congregation that they need to repent. Just say in passing, briefly, two of the churches, he does not say, I have this against you. Two of the churches, he does not command them to repent. Now, I've never seen a Smyrna Presbyterian or a Philadelphia Presbyterian, but I've seen a lot of Baptists, Smyrna Baptists and Philadelphia Baptists, but I also have seen Baptist tabernacles and Baptist temples. I've never understood those latter two. And it might be a bit arrogant to call yourself Smyrna Baptist or Philadelphia Baptist because they're basically saying, we've arrived. Maybe that's why Presbyterians don't do that. We know better. We haven't arrived. But then again, I've never seen a Laodicean Presbyterian church either. Well, I have, but not with that name on it, at least. Okay. We also have, and this order varies. Okay. At first, we have, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's in all seven letters. And then there's also in all seven letters, to him who overcomes. Now, the first three letters, the letter to Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos, has that order. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then to him who overcomes, with some variance on what is going to come to him who overcomes. The last four reverse that order. So Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea are reversed. They have to him who overcomes with various statements about the blessing to that person. And then secondly, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'd have to say to you, before we look at the point this morning, that when you've got something that's in every single letter, in almost exactly the same words, you really need to pay attention to it. When he says, to him who overcomes, particularly in the one letter, when Jesus says that I have overcome. And if you remember when we went through Revelation oh so many years ago, that word overcome is an extremely important word. It's the word Nike, and we're not talking about sneakers, okay? Or anti-aircraft missiles. They had those back when I was a kid. This is victory. This is conquest. This is overcoming. Those are all various translations that you'll encounter in your various standard translations. That's important. And then, again, all seven times, he who has an ear. I don't think he's talking about the thing on the side of her head, though that helps. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not just those seven. Well, I'm not a member of that congregation. Well, you know what? These seven churches, while they were physical churches in physical cities that did exist in the Roman province of Asia, which was just the western portion of what we call Turkey, not even all of the western portion of what we call Turkey, these churches are churches you're going to find here and there and everywhere. And these are also indicative of individual Christians. There is a theory that some dispensationalists have, and more recent dispensationalists snicker, that these are each seven periods in church history. And everyone, of course, says, well, I live in the Laodicean age, whenever they are. Everyone thinks that we're there. And you know, you might live in a congregation that is the Laodicean church, and you might be a Laodicean Christian, even if you're living in a Smyrna church. But here's the thing that struck me, stood out, because this phrase is in every single letter. I know your works. Now, in some of those letters, there are other things added. For example, in the Ephesian church, I know your works, labor, patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. In the Smyrna church, I know your works, tribulation and poverty and so forth, other things. But in every single church, I know your works. The frustrating thing to me in my study, as I try to go a bit deeper for my own soul's sake, is that not one of my commentaries, and I got a bunch of them on Revelation, not one of them really spends much time with that. Some of them almost totally ignore it. The best I found, though, was this particular statement. Look with me. Yeah, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. We'll just stop there. Notice in the midst of the seven lampstands, but each of the churches is a lampstand. And one of them, he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and take away your lampstand. The point is, he's in the midst of his churches. He's in our midst. I mean, that's the promise he makes, that when we assemble together in his name, there we meet with our covenant God. There we are in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can't see him, smell him, or hear him. But not only is he here, but we're there. We are in heaven. And that's the glorious thing about Revelation chapter 4. Starts with John being called up into heaven to see the visions. That's where we are. We're in his midst, and he is in our midst. And he knows everything there is to know about you and me and us. What I do or don't do, he knows everything. What can I hide from him? My works, but notice some of these, also he knows their failures as well. And he knows their needs. One little thing is in those two churches that about which he never says anything negative, the Smyrna church and the Philadelphia church, only those two churches are references to the synagogue of Satan and to the Jews who aren't Jews, but lie. I'll deal with that some other time, perhaps. But it's interesting that only those two churches does he say those things. But for everyone and for every one of us, Jesus says to us, I know your works. That is a word of comfort, and it should be a word of terror. Hebrews quotes the Old Testament and says, our God is a consuming fire. We'll close with this. Look at the statement he makes to the Laodicean church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I know your works. Let's bow our heads before him. Lord Jesus, you know what we do and what we don't do. You know when we turn to you and the Spirit of God to help us fight off the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you know when we suppress the Spirit because we love our sins instead of hating them. You know when we labor for you and when we ignore you. You know everything there is to know about me. You know more about me than I do. And I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters as we come to this table, remembering what you have done for us and knowing what we have not done for you. Grant to us again, as in five of these churches, grant to us again repentance. And we beg this of you in your own name. Amen. From Matthew's Gospel, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and a pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to a renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who live secretly and without repentance in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this is my favorite part, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and repentant from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners, and we come without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness. And we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old nature, and to follow Christ. So then, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, let us examine our minds and hearts to determine whether we have that discernment, to the end that we may partake to both the glory of God and to our own growth in the grace of Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts before him. Dear God, we thank you that our Savior loved us enough to not only suffer the physical pain and torture that the Romans poured out upon him, but also the spiritual torture. For the wrath and curse of God was poured out on him who knew no sin, who had become sin for us. As we take this bread, we do beg of you, feed us, not on merely a little bit of nourishment that's found in this tiny piece of unleavened bread, but nourish us in that which is a sign and seal of the body of Christ broken for us. This we ask of you in Christ's name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, it's a fact that when our bodies are broken, we bleed. Whether the skin is broken or not, we bleed. We call those bruises, but it's bleeding. It could be bleeding in internal organs. It could be bleeding through holes in our skin. But when we're broken, we bleed. And we've been told in your word that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we have the sacrifice of unknown numbers of bulls, sheep, goats, turtle doves. And yet, with all those sacrifices, sin was never paid for. That's why they had to be repeated over and over and over again. Until one lamb is sacrificed, our Savior Jesus Christ. And his blood is poured out. And by the pouring out of his blood, we're washed. It's not the waters of baptism, it's the blood of Christ that makes us clean. Peter assured us of that. So we thank you for this cup, which is the sign and seal of the blood of Christ, which washes us and makes us as clean as snow, cleaner than any laundry can do with any white cloth, removing every stain of every sin we've ever committed or ever will commit. Bless this cup to us, we pray. Amen. Our Savior also took the cup, and having blessed it, he gave to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Our Father, we do give you thanks for your word, that which is written and that which was incarnate. We thank you for the written because it tells us about Christ, who he was and what he has done, and what he is doing in us. Glorify him, we pray, in each individual, in each home, and in this congregation. We beg this of you in Christ's precious name. Amen.